It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name's James Truepenny. This is my show. And today, we are in Hiroshima and Beppu for New Japan Destruction Tour. And to review that show with me is the wonderful, the incomparable Mr. Marcus Green of Total Wrestling. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for that intro. Great to be back on the show.
It's always great to have you back, and we're glad to have you today. What have you been thinking about New Japan as of late with the things that have been going on with, well, really, Kenny Omega as champion? We've had lots of other things going on in the company as far as like different angles and things going like that. What do you reckon? Where do you reckon the company is at the moment?
It's cool. I like where they are right now. Obviously, Kenny's doing his thing as the top guy, if you will, and then as New Japan does, they got a lot of things going on, and seems like every little facet of their organization, whether it be, you know, everybody's kind of waiting to see who's going to emerge out of to the junior heavyweight now that it you know, titles had to be vacated. Goodwill, Hiromu, and obviously the tag team division is being stirred up, and if, you know, anybody watch New Japan, you don't know what's going on between, you know, the Bullet Club and the Firing Squad and just everything that's coming out of that, coming out of the G1, you're completely missing out. So, I think it's real interesting seeing where things are going to shape up. One thing about New Japan, it's rarely ever boring.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's just good stuff, isn't it? Just so much fun to watch and doing so many different things. So the first match of this particular tour was, the first match of the tour was long gone. We're not doing the beginnings to the Road 2 shows, we're just doing the main shows. So the first show of the first night in Hiroshima was Jushin Thunder Liger, Kushida and Tiger Mask. They defeated Rocky Romero and Rapingi 3K Show and Yo. 7 minutes and 14 seconds of a fun match. Now all six of these were at the British Wrestling Media Con the week before, and I saw them wrestle in the RevPro New Japan, J Cup, and they put in some stunning performances, especially Liger. What do you think of this? Because it was just kind of a standard opening New Japan match, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. When I initially got to New Japan, I wasn't used to seeing the likes of Liger and Mask and whoever that third alternate was at the time rack up a lot of wins, and it kind of got to the point where, you know, I would be used to standard New Japan opening match, but I wouldn't expect anything. Obviously, those two are legends, and everybody knows I'm a huge fan of Kushida, but I just wouldn't expect those guys to win because of that legendary status. They can afford to, you know, take L's and keep moving on, but it's fun to see them now because it kind of feels like they're having a bit of a resurgence in terms of getting those W's, and, you know, we got that here, you know, against a very spry Roppongi 3K. You know, with Rocky Romero, who always gets the party started in some kind of way. So, it's, you know, like you said, standard, but it's cool to see, you know, Liger and those boys racking up from W's.
That was the daft thing. It was like I was at the British Wrestling Con, and Rocky lost in the 4-way final, and he looked so miserable and down and grumpy. And then literally 3 minutes later, he walks into the other room. It's like, hey, Jeff Jarrett, I ain't seen you in so long. And it's like, that's the Rocky we know and love. Going over and give Jeff Jarrett a massive hug. It was awesome. Right then. So the second match was Bad Luck Fale versus Toa Henare, continuing their feud. And Toa lasted about a minute longer than he did last time. 2 minutes and 46 seconds. He's having a hard time. He needs to stop messing with the big lads. He needs to calm down. Know his role a bit. What did you think of this?
You know, God bless Henare. you know, Toa, you know, he tried his best. You know, I think Kevin Kelly pointed out on commentary, it's not necessarily a bunch of moves you would want to, you know, take it farther and expect things to go your way. Of course, coming out of G1, it's nice to see a Fale match just go straight up and down with you know, no outside casualties, if you will. So, like I said, God bless Toa, man, but you might want to take yourself off of Fale's radar.
Yeah, I think, you know, biting off a little more than you can chew. Ishii was a little more than you can chew, and Fale certainly is. Calm down.
Yeah.
Yes. Next match was, let's see. Ayuta Yoshida, rookie from Kaientai Dojo, had to take on Killer Elite Squad by himself, which, is, let's be honest, is patently unfair. Didn't see anyone else with him there at all. Did you?
No, I mean, I feel bad for him. You know, it's rare that we get handicap matches like this, especially against, guys like Killer Elite Squad. I mean, it feels this going against Lance Archer alone probably feels like two against one.
Yeah,
The way
yeah.
the man, so with the way the man asked, but you asked somebody, with the technical prowess and power, David Boy Smith, and it's really just unfair.
Yeah, it's just unfair. Did very well for a rookie, gotta say, but
Exactly,
just not
and for
fair.
those guys to come back basically spitting piss and vinegar after an absence, trying to reassert dominance, anybody in their way was gonna get mowed over. So.
They had they just look so angry. Lance Archer just, it's hilarious. It's just like, nope, not even do the fun stuff anymore. Not doing the water intro. No, we're just going to be angry with some more anger and some angry on top with some angry. And Harry Smith just throwing people around. They are pissed and they want the Young Bucks. Very simple. You could tell that just from the way they walked to the ring, just from the way that Lance Archer sat on the top rope and dead stared down his opponents. Sorry, opponent. But yeah, it was a fun match to watch, though. Intermittent destruction always is, I guess. The next was the Best Friends and Will Ospreay. They defeated Bullet Club, Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and Kota Ibushi in 9 minutes and 50 seconds, starting a mini feud that probably won't ever happen between Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay. But Beretta and Chucky T are just amazing as they always are, and this was a thoroughly entertaining match. What were your thoughts, Marcus?
Same. Best Friends are definitely an entertaining tag team. And I think that's going to get pointed out later. I think might be on the Beppu show, but that run with Beretta in the heavyweight division didn't necessarily last too long. I know he got injured, but he always finds great success in the tag team as well. And having Ospreay on your side certainly never hurts. So New Japan they teasing it. They teasing it. This show stealing. A potential match between Ospreay and Ibushi. I 100% agree with Kevin Kelly. Somebody booked this match, because it definitely. I mean, that's match of the year potential written all over it. Even a blind man can see that. Another fun little match, but chaos pulled it out right here.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of fun to watch and kind of established Best Friends, but Beretta and Chucky T is a real threat. And Chase Owens, as per usual, man of the card for his efforts. Yujiro is getting a lot of popularity. He's also coming out in his character a little bit. I still like the bits where Yujiro and Chase will cheat and Coach will just go, "Yeah, I'm just gonna do it my way."
Yeah.
And Chase will throw up a two sweet and Coach will high five him. And Chase will have to explain how a two sweet works. And he'd be like, no. So it's just fun stuff. I like it. Keeps me entertained. All right, next up was our first title match of this particular main event. Never Openweight six man Bullet Club, Taji Ishimori, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa, the Gorillas of Destiny. They defeated Dave Finley, Juice Robinson, Ryosuke Taguchi in 11 minutes and 27 seconds. Again, Team Taguchi Japan coming dressed out in honor of the Rugby World Cup, which is heading to Japan soon. A fun 3-6-way, but we kind of knew who's going to win. Bullet Club Firing Squad these days are all business, and they didn't stand for much fooling. What did you think of this?
Yeah, same. It was obviously that agenda, from the Fire Squad is being a little bit more honed. Obviously, they took the straps off, the Bucks and Skrull. So, they got another gold in mind for some more gold. And this was like a seemed like about the tamest I've seen Tonga on one of these shows coming off the G1. Like I said, I think, those goals are kind of getting fulfilled. It's kind of making him mellow out for Tonga right now anyway. So, it was a fun little match, but there was never any, like I said, doubt who was going to win. Bullet Club OGs, they got goals in mind. And, Taguchi Japan is a fine team, but they were just in the way tonight. But thankfully, there was and like in the follow-up match, there was a spread out of chaos. So.
Yeah, it was fun. It was interesting, certainly, as those championship matches always are. Well, the next match featured Chaos, Gedo, Hirooki Goto, and Toru Yano. They defeated Taichi, Takahashi, Aizuka, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru in 10 minutes and 42 seconds. Kind of, it was setting up Taichi and Hirooki Goto, and they got to wind each other up a fair bit, but it wasn't anything great. It was good. It was solid. It's the kind of thing you'd expect with Suzuki Gun being brawlers on the outside and Kanemura trying to spit whiskey in people's faces and so on and so forth, but nothing startling, I don't think.
No, not at all. Not, nothing stands out, like you said, except, you know, the everything that happened with Goto and Tai Chi, and this match was basically a prelude to their upcoming match on the next night. So, yeah, that's about it. You know, Suzuki Gun doing their usual tactics and Chaos holding their own, and they pulled out the win, but nothing, like you said, memorable.
Yeah. Okay, then. Move on to the next match. Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Evil, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito. They defeated Suzuki Gun, El Desperado, Minoru Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, and Zack Sabre Jr. in 12 minutes and 12 seconds. Again, this was setting up Minoru Suzuki versus Tetsuya Naito for the final night of this, well, last Sunday's show in Beppu. It was very, very good, as these two teams always are, because they are the best two units in New Japan as far as tag team wrestling is concerned. As far, you know, from an entertainment point of view, Suzuki Gun kind of do the things Los Ignorables do, but they do it in a much more bad guy way. Los Ignorables are smoother, but Suzuki Gun are more logical. And of course, you've got that killer intensity with Suzuki Gun as well. So this was kind of fire kind of match. It really was interesting to see these two together. And of course, the playoff between Naito and Suzuki was really important to Beppu's show. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, I dug it. I always dig these two going against each other. And I think the, you know, my favorite part about those two clashes, like you said, the coordinated cerebralness of Suzuki Gun, and then you just had the, like you said, the smooth coordination from LIJ, which I love watching, because you get Sanada, Evil, and Bushi together, and they kind of just go off. But for this match, I mean, it was just straight. You know, Minoru just, I really feel bad for Naito here. Like, Suzuki, again, in this man's crosshairs, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And he definitely took it to Naito, who feels like he's been on the wrong end of some ass kickings all year.
Yeah.
So this didn't help. It literally felt like he was in the sleeper hole for all 12 minutes of this match. the factions held on in the ring, and Minoru was just like, I'm gonna kill this guy out here. Y'all know what to do. So, you know.
By the way, it was the 25th anniversary of Pancras Hybrid Wrestling on Thursday, I think it was. And you can find us talking about that when we do it on Minoru Suzuki retrospective. So if you go back in the playlist, we talked a lot about Pancras then. Obviously, we talked about a lot about Minoru Suzuki in our profile of him we did for his 30th anniversary. Still doesn't seem to slow down 30 years in, does he, Marcus?
No, I don't know what well the man's drinking from, but it's an evil one, and it's one that gives him a restored youth every year.
High speed, no drag. But there you go. Right. The next match on this was Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe and Tomomaki Honma, reunited again with Hiroshi Tanahashi. They defeated Jay White, Kazuchika Okada, and Yoshihashi, 12 minutes and 14 seconds. This was more about the descent in chaos and Kazuchika Okada and Jay White's relationship in chaos, which is proving to be the interesting story of the late summer. Jay White trying to assert authority over chaos, and not necessarily everyone is listening to him, certainly not Kazuchika Okada. Yoshihashi, of course, the angle with him and Hiroshi Tanahashi, whether that'll actually go anywhere or whether it's just a kind of a red herring story, we're not really sure. But certainly it's causing a lot of tension within Chaos, and the breakup of Chaos is being played out in a different way that they're breaking up Bullet Club. If it becomes another faction, or indeed two factions, or someone goes back to regular army, we don't know what will happen. But certainly this is an important kind of storyline that they're playing out through these tag matches and giving them much more interest. What are your thoughts here, Marcus?
This is very interesting. Obviously, and I forgot the exact line Keller used, but he was like, if there's trouble to be stirred up, you can always count on Jay White to do it. And even I think somebody else made another reference. Like, it's literally like Jay White's the wolf, and Chaos is the sheep. And they invited him in, and, you know, this is what's happening. Like, I don't know what else they expected. I mean, he's basically kind of stated his intention of going about it in very, you know, almost semi-blatantly sneaky ways about doing this thing, and obviously I think that manifested in this match. And further, it's really just helping Tanahashi, because Tanahashi's on this, rise back through the ranks and really just killing it right now. Tanahashi's like, look, oh God, I picked you, this never-ending battle, this never-ending saga of ours, to see if you could take this off me. I want you to step up to the plate, but you need to take care of your in-house business. So, and then you got Yoshihashi, who, God bless him, but he's always kind of feels like he's in the mix. And now this whole thing and chaos is backfiring on him, and that's already, he's already pissed off because a lot of times he kind of just feels like he's there, but now this is interfering with him getting W's within the faction that he's in. So, yeah, Okada needs to kind of get it together whether he wants to continue putting up with this crap from Jay White or personally giving him the boot, because he's gonna single-handedly bring that house down.
He had some interesting commentary this week with some comments about Kenny Omega and about, well, kind of slyly about Okada, because they said he always respected Prince Devitt and AJ Styles because they weren't about themselves. They were about leading Bullet Club, and he said he respected that. And he says, where Kenny Omega is about Kenny Omega and nothing else, which is an interesting comment. He's also said in the past that Kota Ibushi will be better when he stopped mucking around with Bullet Club and gets on with his own business. And I think that's kind of like a sly dig at Okada. It's like, you're right, he's got to sort out business within Chaos. Time to be a leader. You know, Hiroshi Tanahashi always respected Shinsuke Nakamura, but he doesn't necessarily respect Okada in the same way. So, it's an interesting storyline. And that relationship between Okada and Tanahashi, essentially Tanahashi defines what Okada is, because Tanahashi is his predecessor. You know, Okada is the ace of the company. As much as the nickname of Tanahashi is the ace, it's Okada is the one that does the business. But his entire persona is built around being the anti-Tanahashi or whatever follows Tanahashi. And now there's chinks in that armor. How does he go about it? You know, he's lost the championship. He has to rebuild. And the route comes through Tanahashi. Can he beat Tanahashi, the guy that's just beaten him recently again? It's going to be interesting to see. Well, he didn't beat him. He got into a draw with him, but he didn't have to lose, did he? So, yeah.
No. And it's interesting, just looking at Tanahashi, when you talk about him, what he, his comments on Omega, his comments on, obviously, his constant, kind of overshadowing Kushida, and then, talking about Kota. Because Tanahashi's that ace, obviously he's still there, but I think he sees a lot of these guys as potential guys that could take his spot. But he very much wants to bring out, he sees potential in guys like Yoshi and all these guys. He just kind of wants them to fulfill that full potential because he knows what they can do. And when he's not there, they will be.
Yeah.
So, I think he really sees it, kind of that's his critique, you guys got everything, to be great, but, when it comes to me, one thing I don't do is stand in my own way. And that's what you guys are doing, and it's, until you, realize these things around you that are stopping you from achieving greatness, you never really go be on my level. And that's why, Tanahashi's able to do what he's been able to do for so long over an extended period of time, is that consistency. Like, because Tanahashi, like, he's not really faction affiliated, right?
Yeah, no, he's New Japan.
Yeah, so, he doesn't have time for that stuff. He's, focused on just being an ace and, just getting it done in greatness. So, I definitely dig it, but I don't think it's from any place malicious, even when it's coming from Omega, who I don't know where he stands in terms of popularity with the True Penny Show after his comments back against Tanahashi for the hair plug thing. That won't go over well with us. But, I just feel like he specifically with Cody, it's like, hey man, like, you best friends with the guy you should probably be knocking off the perch right now. So, I 100% get that, but we'll see. It looks like he may influence somebody like Hashi before he gets the guys like Omega and Okada right now.
I mean, Kenny's made some comments that have not been gone down particularly well. Japanese wrestlers are lazy and they have everything handed to them. That was one. Ishii is a fat tub of lard with nothing to lose. That was another one.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what he said to Ishii in the ring after their showdown at the end G1 Climax Finals. He said, I'm not going to be facing a fat tub of lard with nothing to lose next time. I'm going to be facing a challenger to my championship. Which is the match we're going to talk about now. Kenny prefaced it well. He did apologize afterwards for that one because that was a bit harsh.
I was about to say, is he defecting to the firing squad?
But it was, yeah, I think he just kind of forgot, because he said it in Japanese, and I think he just kind of forgot, oh yeah, English people watch this and they can lip read. Boom. So yeah. Anyway, or English-speaking people, I should say. So the main event of this particular first night in Hiroshima was Kenny Omega, who defeated Tomohiro Ishii in 30 minutes and 55 seconds in an outstanding match. If you expected anything less, this was just so, so good. Possibly my match of the year candidate. It was up there in my top three, along with the hour-long match with Okada and Kaylee Ray versus Mika Satomura at Wrestle Queendom. These three matches are kind of on a par for me. This was just outstanding. I've wanted Tomohiro Ishii to have a championship shot for so long because I knew it was going to be something special to him and he was going to put in a special effort, and he certainly did here. He took every risk he could. He did everything he possibly could. They brought out spots I never thought was possible for two guys of this size and stature, and it was on your edge of your seat wrestling for 30 minutes, 55 seconds. It was a perfect match of Strong Style. It was a perfect match of King's Road. It was everything in Japanese wrestling in one go, and I loved it. What did you think of this, Marcus?
I mean, yeah, it feels like that's really been the story. I mean, Ishii's been, you know, stealing the show this year. I mean, he's, you know, he is a standard. He is that Stone Pitbull. He's a pillar in that company, but he's really, you know, turning it up this year. I mean, all throughout the G1, killing it. And, you know, just kind of telling that story. Again, the consistency with Ishii is incomparable. And going against somebody like Kenny Omega, I think they said they faced off, four times before this and got, like, two wins apiece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of the breaker right here. And, yeah, I mean, it's what you would expect. A great, just absolutely fantastic match. You know, Omega's, you know, really hit his stride as champion in the best shape he's probably ever been in. And Ishii is furthest thing from a fat slob you can get. you know, the guy's 100% rock solid, and you know, every sense of the word, and, you know, gives as good as he can get. And, you know, he's going to push anybody, specifically Omega, to the limit. So, you know, I think it really just comes down to him having to go up against the guy who probably has the most protected move in the business, it seems, right now. In that one wing angel. So.
It was just stunning. It was just, and watching the escapes and the counters and the things that Ishii could do when he really has a platform to go for it, because he doesn't get to main event that often, not like Omega and Naito and those guys who are in main eventing shows all the time. And when he gets something to really get his teeth into, he's just outstanding.
Yeah, shout out to the both guys for Ishii taking that double stomp on the table.
Yeah.
You know, one of the hardest thing guys in New Japan is that the doggone New Japan table. And, of course, Kenny not only hitting him, but, you know, really, you know, clearing some feet, because I think he flew into the second row.
Yeah.
When he hit. So, you know, yeah, that was a great spot.
It was athletic. It was good storytelling. It was risk taking. It was everything you wanted in a wrestling match, and they didn't kill each other quite. But it was very, very good. Okay, then, we move on to Beppu, which was the second night of this main event tour. A six-man tag opened that show. Manabe Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata and Yuya Uemura. Chelsea, where are you? Uemura. I'll do. Uemura. Uemura. There you go. That's probably better. from the new guys from the dojo versus the greatest tag team in New Japan Professional Wrestling, Tenkoji, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Satoshi Kojima, along with Yuta Tsuji. Satoshi Kojima didn't make his comeback, but this was his first big main event show since his injury. Coming back, didn't look like he'd lost a step. In fact, he looked faster and refreshed. Got his head on. Got a work head on. I'm wondering if they're going to give him a bit of a singles push to kind of like cement this comeback and get him ready for the G1 for next year, which I think he might be back in because he missed out this year. But the match wasn't fantastic. Kind of told the story of the new guys coming through and the old veterans trying to look after them. But other than that, it was good. What did you think, Marcus?
Yeah, solid outing. It was cool to see just the championship lineage combined that was in this ring. Really cool. And, you know, was one of these guys a young lion?
Yeah, it was a Yuta Tsuji and Yoya Uemura.
Yeah, you know, shout out to those guys. We got some good showings from young lions on both nights, but specifically this one. Just a good opening outing of these shows. But you know, when it comes to these young lions trying to get on, going against somebody like Yuji Nagata, you know very much well get put in your place quick, and that's what he did. getting it done with a classic crossface. You know, let him know, like, you good kid, but you got a long way to go.
And the next match was kind of similar to that. Dave Finlay, the winner of C Block in the G1 Climax final, took on, and Ren Narita, they took on Shuta Umino and Toa Henare, 6 minutes and 38 seconds. Another rookies and kind of veterans, but they're younger veterans. So they've been around a while, but not that long out of the dojo themselves. But a lot of fun this match, because these two teams were just having fun. They weren't going anything hard and heavy. And the youngsters kind of had the spotlight, and Toa Henare and Dave Finlay gave them the spotlight quite willingly, which is what they're supposed to do, and got the young boys an opportunity to do some cool stuff. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, cool. I'm not exactly familiar with all the young boys, but it's really cool to see these guys go out there and just give each other, throw everything but the kitchen sink at each other, and yeah, that was cool, and I always love watching these guys, because they have a very limited window of things they can do, but they make the most of it and make you care, because it's very easy, coming from an Americanized style, to look at moves like a flying drop kick, missile drop kick, or Boston Crab, and kind of snuff your nose at it. But it means something in New Japan, specifically to the young boys. So it's always just cool seeing not only where they apply that in the match, but just how effectively they apply that, because it goes a long way towards them evolving and expanding their arsenal in the future. So
yeah, it's about them getting their psychology under control and doing things for a reason, not just doing them because they look cool, which is a important part of the New Japan story. You've got to get this right. Ren Narita has improved an awful lot, though. I will say, I agreed with Kevin Kelly that Ren Narita has been pretty awesome, to be honest with you, in his last couple of months. And Shota Umino has always been good. He's the son of Red Shoes Umino, Red Shoes Uno, the referee. And he's got, he has always had the psychology down, if not the moves. Now he's got the moves and the psychology. So I'm looking for these two to do something really good when they come back from excursion. I don't think we'll see either of them in the dojo much longer. Right then, moving on to 8-man tag. Jushin Thunder, no, missed one out. Ayota Yoshida next defeated Takeyoshi Iizuka by disqualification in 4 minutes and 30 seconds, as Iizuka was, crazy and got disqualified. Not a lot you can say about this. Yoshida was there to get beat up, and he did. But he did a good job of getting beaten up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much else you can say. Just be happy you walked away. I mean, she is literally a pit bull off the chain. So kind of just got to be happy and for Yoshida, going 4 minutes, that's practically a milestone against this guy. So there's not really anything you can really expect, really.
No, it was there. It happened, basically.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up a name. Sorry. Yeah. where was I? Yes, the next match was Jushin Thunder Liger, Kushida, Raisuke Taguchi, and Tiger Mask. They defeated Rocky Romero, Sho, Will Ospreay, and Yo, Rapingi 3K, and Will Ospreay in 10 minutes in an utterly ridiculous match that was fantastic. I do want to point out that Yo did steal Sakura Hirota, Joshi Legend's fingers up the arse maneuver whilst trying to wrestle Taguchi. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, because it was stealing someone else's move, which is obviously frowned upon, because we should protect people's moves. But equally, it's a bit grim. So
yeah. It kind of. I was think I was dozing off a little bit, and it woke me up. I'm like, whoa, did I see? Yep. So it did definitely woke me up. But Taguchi directing traffic, obviously, like you said, he kind of got the theme going on there with the sports of it all. And this was just a fun back and forth match, fingers in the butt, sparing. when it really comes down to it, you got guys like Ospreay and Yon Sho and stuff like that, and Kushida, it's going to be a fun time. But for me, the ending of this match was fantastic, because it's been a while since I've seen somebody specifically outside of a particular legendary wrestler who portrays a dead character finish somebody with a tombstone pile driver. I was delighted.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Putting the F back in finisher. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Next match was Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith and Lance Archer. They defeated Best Friends in 10 minutes and 34 seconds in a proper tag match with tags and hot tags and psychology and everything. It was fun. I enjoyed this. This was like a proper wrestling match in the middle of a chaos. Not the faction, actual chaos. But it was really, really good. And I love Chucky T, and I love Trent Barretta, and I love Killer Elite Squad, so I can't complain. This was just my kind of match. Big-ass wrestling moves done in a big-ass way with lots of hot tags and messy finishes. What more could you want? Eventually, someone had to fall to the Killer Bomb, but it wasn't a particularly predictable match. And I kind of possibly could have seen Best Friends winning this. And, you know, considering the size of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer, they didn't have to give as much to Best Friends as they did, but they did, and it was a lot of fun. What did you think of this, Marcus?
100% agree. This is the kind of Killer Elite Squad type of match I like to see. And then never really been the biggest guy when it comes to, you know, the Best Friends, but yeah, they really showed out here. I mean, you know, they definitely outsized, and Chucky T is not no little guy, but you know, against, you know, KES, it's a different differential. So they really, you know, they gave as good as they got here. But like we said earlier, you know, KES is coming off that, you know, that absence. They, you know, they pissed off, you know, just straight piss and vinegar, and they look fantastic. You know, they perform that, you know, even better. And yeah, I mean, they got a 100% formula. Lance Archer is like, you know, this aimed rage at times, and he's handling everything outside the ring and touching inside. And David Boy Smith just effectively, efficiently getting it done with pure power and technical prowess. Like, he doesn't have to be that good technically, but he is. For his size, he can really just rely on power moves, but he just slams guys down, and you got bridges and, you know, excellently executed, you know, German suplexes and stuff. And just, you know, those guys are like really, you know, just a perfect tandem. But, you know, Beretta and Chucky T, they really brought it. This was really a definition of just a straight up and down great tag match, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, definitely. Next up, we had Suzuki Gun, El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemura, and Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. They defeated Los Ignorables, De Japón, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata in 8 minutes and 31 seconds. More Suzuki Gun shenanigans, really, but this was pretty fun for what it was. Again, Suzuki Gun versus LIJ, always going to be fun with these two teams, and it was a bit all over the place, but it was well worth watching.
Yeah, it really was. Again, like I said, I never get tired of seeing these two factions do their thing, and you know, you kind of know what to expect from Suzuki Gun. But yeah, I've always kind of the one thing about me with LIJ, they always do this thing where they end up leaving one of their guys, and in the past, has gotten Naito's behind kicked. It seems like they leave a guy a little too early, but in this case, it was justified because Evil was not in the mood, taking that L to Zack Sabre, who, you know, the human python himself. If I don't get you in the flip, I get you in the flop. So if I can't tap you out, I'm a pin you in a unique way, and that's what he did with Evil here. And Evil was in a mood, and I dug it. That was some cool stuff. And Sabre Jr. is just like guy said on commentary, he's just racking up that list of people he's had in L's to. So
yeah, that's it. You know, Zach's got that win and loss record is cooking, and especially after the New Japan Cup and getting the title shot against Okada, hasn't had a shot against Omega. I'm looking forward to when he does get a shot against Omega. That's going to be outstanding. And I think he still owed one from the G1 Climax, I believe. Oh no, he lost to Omega, didn't he? So yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Okay then. Next matchup was Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe and Tomoyuki Honma, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Juice Robinson. They defeated Jay White, Kazuchika Okada, Toru Yano and Yoshihashi in 13 minutes and 1 second after Jay White miscommunicated and caused a loss. So one loss was caused by Okada, one loss has been caused by Jay White. They're even, Steven. But the story, of course, is Okada versus Tanahashi this weekend at the third night of Destruction. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus, and where do you think we're going with this?
Definitely looking forward to yet another meeting between these two. You know, this is those two are definitely Okada, Tanahashi is like the literal definition of fight forever. It feels like, but yeah, that doggone Jay White, man, if he's not directly involved, he's orchestrating some type of literal chaos. So, yeah, Kushida just gotta, you know, gotta push that to the side and get focused. This is. You know, you talk about how he's kind of been since losing the strap and kind of look like he's been trying to refine himself and definitely be on a good road to doing that if he can, you know, take that case away from Tanahashi. But, you know, if he's not fully focused and he's letting everything with chaos, specifically with Jay White, take him off his game, it's going to be another well-executed match that goes Tanahashi's way. So I don't know where they's going. I can't necessarily see them knocking off Ta-Nehisi like this because I think it's just telling such a great story with him and just that amazing comeback. But yeah, definitely, I think it's more interesting seeing what's coming out with Chaos because this can only go on for so much longer.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be like the first, if it continues, this is the first non-Okada main event at Wrestle Kingdom in about 6 years. They're trying to get Omega over, but his contract runs out around the same time, as per usual, because most New Japan contracts run out January the 1st. So he may do an agreement just for 4 days to figure out where he's going and what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. That's the thing. We don't know what's happening with Cody. We don't know what's happening in the Young Bucks. There's a lot of the Bullet Club Elite who have contracts up in the air. These guys are going to stay put. Like Yujiro is going to stay put, and Chase Owens is going to stay put. But you know, there's a lot of things that could go on in Bullet Club, and there's a lot of things that could go on in this main event within the next 3 months. So we're going to see very carefully what's going to happen. The next match, never openweight title match, Tai Chi defeats Hirooki Goto in 20 minutes and 54 seconds. Now, sadly, we could not have Christy from Wrestling Sexism and New Japan GIFs on today, but Marcus did promise to be miserable for both of you, didn't you? There you go, you see. And I think that speaks for both of us, well, both you and Christy, and your level of disappointment in Tai Chi winning the Never Open Weight Championship. What did you think of the match, though?
To be honest, and I just hate to lend give any type of sort of credit to Tai Chi, but you know, it was a solid match from both guys. He did his thing. Oh God. Goto definitely stepped into the plate. It felt like a 3-on-1 affair. Because obviously Tai Chi is going to throw everything in a book at him. Goto held his own, and Tai Chi really felt like he stepped up in that third half with the, you know, exchanges back and forth, and eventually would put my boy away. But single handedly, I think Tai Chi actually walked me through the five stages of grief on this match. Because I ended up knowing the result, of course, before I watched it, so it was kind of just waiting on an inevitable. But I can't be mad at the match. This is probably the best I feel like I've seen Tai Chi. Just because, you know, we see what he does with the tag matches and everything he did to Goto before this. He literally was on Goto, kind of how Suzuki was on Naito. But it sucks because this is like the second time I've seen my boy drop the strap. But this is to somebody who actually exists now. So I can give it that. I can't really be mad at the match. 20 minutes, 54 seconds. Like I said, it's not too many Goto matches that you could just look at it and be like, that was a throwaway. This is definitely not a throwaway. And Tai Chi stepping up to the plate, so I can't fully be mad. I'm just not a Tai Chi guy, but it was a solid outing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different kind of story. It was kind of a story that Tai Chi was going to tell. It matched his character really, really well. It matched Goto's character really, really well. I'm just not particularly a fan of Tai Chi. It's just dull for me. I just don't. He's all right. But anyway, we'll move on to the main event. Tetsuya Naito defeats Minoru Suzuki in 32 minutes and 8 seconds. In a match, it was essentially Minoru Suzuki destroying Tetsuya Naito piece by small piece by small piece until Naito pulled out victory at the end, which kind of left me and the crowd a bit like, huh? I think this match suffers from the fact that the ending was so abrupt, and it was all Naito's could do to just stick the Destino on and pin him, and he won. And to me, as we know, the Destino isn't the most reliable of finishers. Could have done with a bit more, honestly. It would have been nice if they tried a few different things. So,
definitely ended with a thud. That's what it definitely ended with, a thud. I think the most entertaining thing for me was Red Shoes with that doggone chair. I'm like, what are you doing? I'd rather get hit with that chair than tripped by somebody else and try to stop Minoru. you mad, man? But shout out to Naito, for putting Suzuki against the other toughest man in Japan, that doggone table. She took like a champion, because Suzuki is is otherworldly. But yeah, it was basically him getting stomped out most of this match, and you know he was getting the brakes beat off him when he had to hit his finisher just to get a break.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, he took it, man, and he hit a second Destino. He got up out of there. Like there's a lot going on Naito now. I mean, Suzuki is a problem. Feels like 365, even when it's just only been going on for like a month. But, you know, of course, you know what's in the back of Naito's mind, and it's strictly the letters Y2J. So
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the winner gets Jericho is essentially what this match was.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I've seen Naito versus Jericho, and I kind of wanted to see Suzuki versus Jericho before I saw Naito versus Jericho again. I wouldn't have minded Suzuki winning this match, Naito having to go do a bit more soul searching and then come back. Because you've got time to do that. You could do a match at King of Pro Wrestling with Suzuki versus Jericho, have Naito interfere or come down and challenge him. And I think that would have been important. I mean, they've done a great job with the story, telling the story of LIJ versus Suzuki all summer long. However, for me, it was just like, this could have been slightly differently, could have played this out differently. I mean, I don't like to tend to knock Jericho's booking because I think he's very good at what he does, but this one just didn't ring right for me. I think, you know, I can understand why Jericho would probably want to wrestle Naito over Suzuki, because he's the bigger name and he's the younger star and he wants to get younger people over and he's doing favors for people, so he should do. But I don't think it's a problem if he beats Suzuki at King of Pro Wrestling and takes on Naito at Wrestle Kingdom. For me, I think that would work really well and gives Naito something to build to, and then he's got that main event slot which he always wanted, you know. But that's, well, semi main event anyway. I don't know, but that's just the way I think anyway.
I like it. I dig it, because like I said, coming out of that match he had with Jericho, to me the whole thing about that was, just from my perspective anyway, he literally beat the train Kilo out of Naito.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would have been a great thing for him to kind of take an absence like, wow, this is a different thing than I've ever ran into before. You know, I just let this guy not only, you know, come in and beat the brakes off me, but he took the strap and he's literally just doing whatever in the hell he wants. Like, I need to switch things up. And for Jericho to come in with his new attitude and his new way, style of doing things, that would clash very well with somebody like Suzuki, who literally has not a damn to give.
Yeah.
About anything. So that would have clashed quite well if Jericho wanted to take it to that physical level. And then you could obviously have Naito come back reinvigorated and stepping up, kind of how like we had Hiromu literally push Kushida to more physical, heights. Because,
yeah,
you know, Kushida very much had to step his game up in every sense of the word, particularly in aggression. I mean, I think he came up with a whole new finisher, you know, doing that whole new thing just to, you know, overcome Hiromu, because he was killing him in every sense of the word. So I think that, you know, going with what you said, I think that would have been a great thing. And it would have allowed Naito to hit a new gear, because he's very good in what he does, but he very much is kind of, I'm not going to say stifled, but he is very, you know, in that same gear of that Tranquilo. And I think the story of getting over Jericho might require more than that, and I think that would have brought that out of.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts as well. It'll be interesting to see where we go and where we go next. I mean, the next job for us, first of all, is we've got to go to the last night of destruction this weekend, and where Ricardo will take on Tanahashi. What's your prediction for that one, Marcus?
I'm going with the ace. I gotta go with the ace for that. I mean, like I said, this is a great story they tell on Tanahashi. I definitely want to see it, versus Omega. And I think, you know, Tanahashi's kind of sending those shots to his underling guys. Like, look, man, I've been at this for however many years, and I'm damn near back at the mountain, and you guys are, you know, questioning how you got knocked off the mountain. And, you know, this is just what I do, and this is why I'm consistent. So I think Tanahashi's going to get it done. I mean, he doesn't, so, you know.
I kind of agree with you, that's the logical thing to do, but I'm an Okada guy, I'm a Chaos guy, so I have to back my man, so I'm going to go with Okada.
I dig it.
We'll see. He's probably going to lose now. But I was right 3 Wrestle Kingdoms in a row, so eventually I have to be wrong. Right then, well, that pretty much wraps up our show today, so we'll be back next week where we'll finish up our coverage of Destruction in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then we're looking at possibly some UWFI in 1995 for our next episode of the Beginner's Guide to Japanese Professional Wrestling. I'd like to thank my guest today, Mr. Marcus Green of Total Wrestling Magazine. You can find him at Paradox Kid on Twitter.
Yeah, man, thanks. Always a pleasure being back.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you, sir, definitely. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter and on Facebook, The Troopany Show, as well as Patreon, where you can keep The Troopany Show free forever for everyone. Take care. We'll be back next week with more destruction from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Bye.